Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres will play their second of three in Texas against the Rangers. And after the show, our host Jesse Agler will be getting his minion stagehands to set him up to watch the game just like he did yesterday.
I kept asking if they wanted help. They told me to stay out of the way. I offered. I felt bad because, yes, I was just sitting here. At one point, I even had the recliner out on the chair.
Really?
Yeah, I was laying back. I said, hey, let me know if you need anything. I might have sipped a lemonade. I don't know. But they said, no, we got it. And they got us.
We've also got Randy Jones in studio today. Why? Because he loves these NLAL matchups so much.
Well, the American League, they can do whatever they want. I have no use for the American League. I'm a National League guy, and I'm sorry.
That's it. But that's what we're talking about. Split it back up. Get rid of the interleague play. Split the umpires.
That's right.
Let them have their DH if they want it.
A little old school. The only time
they can play their four-hour games.
You see the American League in spring training, you see them in the World Series.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Randy Jones.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. It's 7-Eleven. Happy Slurpee Day.
Hey.
I like that. Last night, round one of what I'm calling the Bavacqua Bowl went to the Texas Rangers. A 4-3 win for Texas. I'm trying to spice up the Rangers-Padres because they got five more games to play against one another this year. All of the remaining interleague games that the Padres have this season are against the Texas Rangers. Tonight, tomorrow, and then at the end of August, beginning of September, the Rangers come here. So, obviously, it's about as random as it gets in interleague play. You have the Preller, you know, Daniels connection. But, you know, Kurt was here yesterday, and I'm calling it the Bavacqua Bowl. And I asked him what the actual Bavacqua Bowl would be filled with, and he said chicken noodle soup. So there you go.
Wow.
This is round two of five between the Padres, or of six, excuse me, between the Padres.
No, it'd be full of chili.
Chili?
Yeah.
Okay.
Chicken noodle soup.
Not buying that.
Yeah.
All right, so welcome to the AMR Studio Petco Park. A lot to talk about, man.
What do you mean a lot?
The volume on the trade talk.
This is going to become the unsocial hour if we're not careful.
Oh?
We're going to change the name.
To what?
Unsocial hour.
Why?
Because we're going to start being unsocial. We're 10 games under 500. We got to start going the other way.
Yes. Yes, we do. But the volume on the trade talk is like up to 11.
Oh, yes.
Maybe 12. I don't know if it goes to 12, but if it does, it'll be there soon if it's not already. Because it seems like now, as we sort of approach the All-Star break here, we're kind of tiptoeing up to it. Afterwards, if you listen to the Ken Rosenthal's and the Buster Olney's of the world, all hell is going to break loose on the baseball landscape, and it's going to be a very active trade deadline season. And it sounds like the Padres are going to be very much in the middle of all of that. So we're going to talk about a lot of that. Dennis Lynn of the Union Tribune will join us coming up in about a half an hour. He wrote a really interesting story yesterday, which we'll talk about, that had quotes from Padres ownership and from the executives with the ball club, kind of talking about what their mentality is heading into this period of time. So we'll talk to Dennis about all of that and, of course, about the team as well. We'll talk a lot about today's starting pitcher, James Shields, an interesting look at the way he's pitched this year online today. We'll kind of get into that and break down today's starting pitcher. But I think we got to start with last night because there was an awful lot to talk about. You see 4-3 maybe in the morning when you open up your paper, you go online, you open the app, whatever it is, and you say, all right, another one-run loss. Seen that before. No, but last night felt a little bit different maybe than all these other one-run losses and other one-run issues that the Padres have had in the last week. It was like there were several different kinds of frustrating last night. Like there were – it wasn't just, oh, they couldn't hit, and so they – you know, there were like a lot of little things that happened.
At least it didn't start until the first inning, and, you know, what's wrong with that?
So here you go. They left nine on base last night. Nine men left on base by the Padres.
Oh, for seven.
Yeah, I'll get there. Okay. Seven of the nine men left on base were in the last four innings, so late in the game. So
right.
Seven of the nine men they left were late. They were 0-7, as you just said, with runners in scoring position. Texas, by the way, was 0-6. You had defensive miscues. You had near misses on balls hit well, but not well enough. So where do you begin, like, with all of those things that were frustrating from last night? What's at the top of Randy's list?
When somebody tags up on a 110-foot pop-up.
Yeah.
That kind of bothered me.
Yeah.
A little bit.
So Will Middlebrooks catches the pop-up with Delino DeShields Jr. on third base and one out. First inning. Then you go, all right, Prince, by the way, there's a tremendous at-bat from Prince Fielder, but that's neither here nor there,
right.
I guess. And the way Middlebrooks explained this after the fact was nobody called for it, and then all of a sudden they all called for it. And so you saw Clint Barmus get out of the way. Melvin Upton Jr. came running in. And Middlebrook said, hey, first priority is catch the ball. And he said in his mind, he didn't expect DeShields to be tagging up. He goes, hey, in those situations, usually the guy's kind of like halfway down the line in case it falls. So he said it wasn't a case of thinking that that was the third out. Rather, it was a case of he just didn't expect the guy
exactly
to be going back to third
and
base.
And when he caught it, he's in a bad throwing position.
Right.
You know, and it's understandable just on the, like you talk about the communication between the three. But, you know, then you know, first thing, the hesitation, didn't think he was going to go. He looked down. He caught the ball, got the out.
Yeah.
Looks back up, the element of surprise. He did tag and score. You know, and like you say, when you're kind of caught flat-footed, not in a good throwing position, you're not going to throw DeShields out.
Yeah, no, the guy's really fast.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of it as well. And it was it wasn't an ideal result. I mean, look, it's the center fielder's ball, right?
Yes.
At the end of the day. I mean, that's a pretty easy one, I think, you know, for the Little League crowd to answer. But as Middlebrook said after the game, it's not necessarily that cut and dry, because if he's backing up, and I thought, you know, Dick and Mudd did a good job last night talking about the fact that, you know, when you're in a shift, everything's a little bit off.
You're out of position. You got
right.
guys out of position, so you're not sure where everybody's at
when you're
going toward the ball.
Exactly. So he's kind of drifting back. He doesn't quite know where anybody else is. And as he explained it, everybody sort of said, I got it, at the same time. And he said the top priority was to make the catch. But I think it's that last little moment that probably was the most frustrating part of the play. Make the catch and look up. You know,
well,
don't look down.
You saw where, like, Melvin Upton's coming in. If he had handled that baseball, his momentum is going toward home plate.
Yeah.
He doesn't try to steal. If he catches that baseball, I don't think that ever happens. But, you know, when you got Middlebrook backpedaling in that scenario, he knows he's flat-footed. He's not in a good throwing fashion. And then that split-second hesitation, the element of surprise, you look up, he is going. Now it's too late.
So Texas scratched out that run. They would scratch out another run.
And
you go triple and ground ball.
And he can go on and on. I mean, you know, like the two mistakes Ian Kennedy makes for the two home runs.
Right, that was the next.
Yeah. You know, home runs number 19 and 20 for the season for Ian Kennedy. And those mistakes just keep, you know, piling up on poor Ian. I mean, you're not going to get away with one. It's one thing to make a mistake here for Fielder, but then to come back and maybe lose a little concentration, and that's not where you want to pitch.
90 middle in to Adrian Beltre. He's going to turn on that.
Yeah, he's going to turn on it.
You know, this is a guy that when all is said and done is going to have some insane numbers when you think about it. And Prince Field, obviously, is about as locked in as anybody in the American League.
But, you know, Jesse, over and watching the ball game, and they lose another 10 games under 500. But I think it's the overall approach of the ball club right now. I don't see any fire in this group. You know, and that's what we got to recondition here. We got to build some momentum, get some fire back, start having some fun playing this game. You've been playing this game since you were a kid. It's supposed to be fun. It's competitive, but you know, they're not having any fun. They're kind of going through the motions, you know.
I mean, there's some chicken and the egg stuff there, right? Yeah. It's hard to have fun if you're not winning.
Exactly.
So,
but, I mean, even overall, the sooner or later, you just got to go, you know, relax and quit pressing. It's not doing any good. You know, I think, you know, right now Derek Norris is pressing. You know, he's not swinging the bat well. Everything, I think he's over swinging a little bit instead of just taking a deep breath, relaxing, and just let it happen. Let your ability take care of it. And then a lot of these guys got to get back to that. Just relax a little bit, take a deep breath, and just start playing together, and it'll all come together. I think there's a lot of individual efforts going on right now, not a team effort. I'm seeing a lot of individual efforts. They're trying to right the ship, you know, themselves.
Everybody's trying to do too much, kind of thing?
Yes, and that's what I really see out there, and that it takes that form when you look at the ball club overall. They're just not working together and getting it done. You know, I don't have the answer how you
– Sure.
You got to get that intensity back. Maybe it'll take All-Star break to get that back. Maybe regroup mentally and – come back Thursday with a little workout and get ready for, you know, the second half.
I remember saying 2 weeks ago, let's say, that, you know, the best-case scenario for the Padres was that they were going to get hot on this trip and they were going to go into the All-Star break, and we were going to be sitting here saying, man, I wish this wasn't the All-Star break because we wanted them to keep going. And it's kind of turned into the opposite of that. You know, I mean, the struggles began those last two games with those tough losses in St. Louis, then the sweep in Pittsburgh. Now they lose this game in Texas last night. And so you kind of feel like, all right, let's get the All-Star break here. You know, let's take a step back, take a breath, and kind of get back to work next Friday.
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt to have a good solid weekend this weekend.
Sure.
You know, and you know, like you say, and it is a little early for all the trade rumors. I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
You know, but, I mean, is there a name that hasn't been mentioned?
No, that's it's unbelievable.
Amarista might be the only one that hasn't been mentioned.
The sheer number of guys on the 25-man roster whose names I've read in trade rumors in the last 48 hours is insane. There are the obvious guys. You know, Justin Upton, big name. You know, he's going to be a free agent. Everybody expected that one. You know, but, I mean, it's other free agents. Kennedy, Venable. Like you said, it's basically at this point everybody, but maybe Amarista and Barmes, the shortstop.
Yes, I mean.
It's crazy. But we'll talk a lot about the trade stuff moving forward. Dennis Lynn is going to join us as well. One of the other weird things about last night was in the eighth inning, they make it 4-2, they make it 4-3, and then Brett Wallace just misses one,
right,
not long after Justin Upton just missed one on his sacrifice fly to left field. So we're sitting here all down on ourselves and all frustrated. And then they nearly had an opportunity in the ninth inning as well. Now, they're not coming up with the big hit to sort of tip the thing over. Well, they weren't quitting on this thing either.
No.
Down 4-1. I mean, they clawed their way back into it.
They did. They clawed their way back into it. It wasn't the prettiest clawing back. But, hey, you know, to be there and have an opportunity, like you said, the last three innings, I thought they had opportunities, even the ninth inning. You get a guy on, you bunt him over, get him in scoring position. I like that move with one out,
yeah.
You know, with your key guys coming up to hit. You know, and you got to hope that one of them can tie it up, and then let's go bullpen to bullpen. And, you know, I like Pat Murphy's idea there. If you can get just tie it up, you got a chance.
You know, it's funny because I felt like everybody on Twitter last night, and I'm pretty much on Twitter during the entire game, just kind of, you know, feeling out everybody, and, you know, I'll hop in when I want to. But, yeah, Melvin Upton with the sack bunt in the ninth, and everybody sort of freaked out and said, well, the book says on the road you don't play for the tie. And I looked down at my scorebook, and the Texas Rangers were using their fifth relief pitcher of the night, their fifth,
mm-hmm,
in the ninth inning. And I'm saying to myself, oh, Padres have used like two guys. And if this thing does get tied up, I kind of like the Padres having the edge right there. So I get it. And I know the traditional thing is on the road, you're trying to take the lead. But I agree with Norris coming up, and I know he's been struggling, but he's still one of your key guys. He's one of the people you want up there in those situations.
Exactly.
You know, and it didn't happen for the Padres. But, look, I understand both sides of this one, and I'm not saying it's 100% easy to make, you know, the one call to have them bunt. But I don't think it's as easy as saying you don't do that because you're on the road. I thought a lot of people were freaking out about
that. Yeah, and just because, you know, Melvin Upton, yeah, had three hits in the game.
Sure.
But still, I mean, I still like that idea with that matchup. And he made a good bunt and got the guy over. And, you know, if Kemp comes up and, you know, flares the ball or just, you know, a ground ball base hit somewhere.
Bada bing, bada boom.
And we're still playing.
Yeah, well, I hope not the next day. So, yeah, it was a nice night for Melvin. 3-for-3, had the home run. He had a bunt single or an infield single. He had a regular single and, of course, the sacrifice bunt as well. I want to talk a little bit more about Melvin Upton and how he sort of fits into this trade deadline conversation. He obviously arrived here as sort of an attachment, right? Like, you know, when you send an email and you attach a file?
Honestly, yeah.
That's kind of what it was. The Braves needed to rid, you know, his salary, kind of like Carlos Quinton going back to Atlanta. You know, he was just sort of attached to the deal, and it was a money kind of situation. That, I wonder, could that come in play again, you know, as the Padres continue, we expect, to make moves this month? We'll talk about that when we come back. Dennis Lynn will join us in a little bit as well, and we'll talk trade deadline with the beat reporter for the Union Tribune. Join the movement to create a world without cancer. The Padres want you to join Pedal the Cause and raise money for San Diego's cancer-fighting centers. You can ride, volunteer, be a virtual rider, or donate to a rider or a team. Anyone can ride. So join Team Padres or ride on your own. To learn more or to register, visit gopedal.org/register. gopedal.org/register. That is something that goes well beyond baseball. Great opportunity to give back to this community. You can join the conversation online. Use the hashtag Twitter on Twitter, PadresSH. Hashtag PadresSH. We'll get to your questions and comments as the afternoon progresses. Take a break, come back, talk about the trade deadline and also James Shields.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. All-Star game coming up Tuesday night in Cincinnati. The
nice.
National League lost another.
Yeah, but going to be interesting who's going to play.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're dropping like flies. A couple of big injuries today in the National League East. The Braves, Jason Grilli, lower leg injury, trying to cover first base. He was carted off. That was an ugly one. Meanwhile, D. Gordon, who's on pace to have like 300 hits this year for the Marlins, the former Dodger, he dislocated his left thumb today, out of the All-Star game, probably going to miss a good amount of time. In fact, you know, the Marlins are scheduled to be here in a couple of weeks.
Tell him how he did it.
Guess. I'll give everybody one guess. How did the fast guy dislocate his left thumb that's going to cost him probably like a month or 6 weeks? Head first into first.
That's
Can
crazy.
We stop doing it?
What's wrong with him?
I mean, that's like we all know by now. Not only does it actually slow you down to do that, but it's dangerous, and this is why. The Marlins coming here.
That could cost him some weeks. Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dislocated left thumb?
That could be 4 weeks easy.
Easy. So the Marlins are here not next weekend but the weekend after for a four-game series. I would guess no D. Gordon, probably no Giancarlo Stanton. They're down a couple. Granted, they're floundering in a big way. It's not like they're in a playoff race right now, although the Mets won again today, and they're now a game back of the Nationals. We saw the Mets here. That is a very flawed baseball team. That is a flawed baseball team.
Well,
not that there's a perfect team out there.
They're flawed the right way.
I guess so. But they're a game behind Washington right now. One game behind.
That's going to be interesting.
As we go into the final couple of days before the All-Star break. All right, we'll talk trade rumors in a moment. First, how about a highlight from last night? A nice play as the Padres had kind of scratched and clawed their way back into it in the eighth inning. They're trying to keep it a 4-3 game in the bottom of the eighth. And Yanhervis Solarte, who's playing all over the place this year, makes a really nice play. It is our Montalvo Tequila smooth play of the game. A really nice catch. Again, in the shift in kind of an unfamiliar, weird area on the field. Sean Kelly trying to keep this a one-run game and trying to keep the Padres in it. Really nice play in the bottom of the eighth last night. Our Montalvo Tequila, smooth play of the game. Montalvo Tequila, triple distilled, exceedingly smooth, and locally owned. Montalvo Tequila, where craft meets crowd. So that was our smooth play of the game. All right, we were talking about Melvin Upton a few minutes ago.
Right.
And how he fits in. He came here, as we said, as an attachment. He struggled, the last 2 years
yes,
in Atlanta.
Yes, he has.
Under 200, just over 200 in his two seasons there. And they said, hey, you can have Craig Kimbrell, but we need you to take Melvin Upton and his contract with you. And so now he's getting an opportunity to play semi-regularly for the Padres. He had the good game last night, but I don't think it would be crazy if, when the Padres are making all these moves, throughout this month, as a lot of people expect them to, if he were once again maybe part of a similar kind of situation.
Well, I mean, and from the numbers game and the economics of baseball, definitely. You try to put him in the mix, with a couple of those, and trying to acquire, whomever they are. I think we got a pretty good idea what they might be trying to get,
Yeah.
But I think overall, if you can mix it in there, it'd be great. And just small sample size here since he came back off the DL. We haven't seen a lot of him. We haven't seen him every day. He's in the lineup. I know, obviously, again, today when you get three hits and a home run, you should be in the lineup.
Absolutely.
The next day.
So that's one possibility.
You bet.
One possibility is that he could once again be attached to a Kimbrel or to whomever.
But I don't
be
think
part
so.
Of something. You don't think so?
Honestly.
And I agree with you. I would say it's something to keep in mind. It's a possibility. But I think there's a very real possibility, obviously, that he will be here for the duration. And Bill Center, he does these chats every Friday
right.
On the internet, Padres.com/chat. They do them Fridays at noon, and really good questions every week. So people just fire whatever they have at Bill, and he gives them his best answer. And somebody asked about Melvin Upton Jr. yesterday in the chat, and he had I thought was a really interesting answer and a good point, which was that if he is still here after the trade deadline, you probably are playing him most every day at that point. Things are going to get shuffled around. If Upton leaves and Myers comes back, Myers probably goes to a corner outfield spot. Anyway, things are getting moved around. And you probably, at that point, give Melvin Upton Jr. an opportunity to try and figure it out.
You might as well.
Because while the last 2 years in Atlanta weren't so good, he's got a resume of being a very good baseball player. And if he can somehow find himself in that situation, well, that could change some things.
Yeah, and we've already seen it in bursts as far as with the bat. We know he can do what he can do in center field. I mean, he can track them down.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about that. But I think overall it's just the bat and where is he going to fit. And ideally, if he could just, start making contact, increase the on-base percentage, that number one slot would be all his.
Yeah. So, anyway, kind of an interesting guy to keep an eye on, and certainly going 3-for-3 last night was a good part of it. All right, we mentioned with the trade deadline stuff, everybody's name is out there. James Shields was a big topic of conversation today. Buster Olney threw his name out there. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But as a player, like I said, it's like everybody everybody's name has been mentioned at some point. And with
that's a good thing.
Well, with everybody having one of these, and I'm holding up my phone.
Yep.
And you get, you know, I'm not saying that every player gets the push updates from MLB trade rumors or whatever, but everybody's aware of it. You know, you talk to the players, they say, well, I might not look at it, but my brother's always keeping me, you know, that kind of stuff. Everybody knows everything. Now, you can't really insulate yourself in this world of Twitter and smartphones. So they know. These players know that that stuff is being talked about. How do you not let that impact what you're doing on the field?
Well, you know, for 2.5-3 hours, you get on a field, it shouldn't impact anything. I mean, just lock it in and go play your game. You know, it takes a lot of concentration. You may not think so, but it does. You know, when you're playing a game like this, and you know, that should not be a distraction. If you got one or two guys, and everything's about two guys, i.e. Chase Headley when he was here, mm-hmm. trade rumors flying around like crazy. Really the only guy that there were trade rumors around, Jesse.
Right.
Now, I can see where that's a distraction. I mean, every reporter, everybody's coming to you. I mean, if you're going to do that with this club right now, you're going to talk to eight guys.
Yeah.
You know, and I think with all the trade rumor with that many guys maybe on the trade in your block right now, fine. You know, I think that
so you think that's better in this sense?
Well, spreads that out.
Right.
You know, and I think, hey, whatever's going to happen. But I don't buy in a lot of that. They got more pressing concerns than worrying about trade deadline right now.
There was an article written today about Cole Hamels, and his name's been tossed around since the winter. Everybody's sort of like every day, it seems like, since November has been waiting for Cole Hamels to be dealt. And, you know, somebody wrote something today nationally that is impacting his season this year.
I think so.
Okay.
That's been a distraction.
Okay.
For Cole Hamels.
Because it's so much about him.
It's all about him.
Yeah.
And that's all it's been since, you know, seems like last winter, to be honest with you. I don't know how many other Phillies you've heard anybody talking about.
Yeah.
It's been Cole
Appelbaum,
Hamels.
Appelbaum, maybe.
You know, and it kind of piled on him when he came to San Francisco last night. He got shelled. He didn't pitch. You know, well at all. Grand slam, defense, you know.
One of my best friends, he's a huge Philly fan. He's from Philadelphia. He lives in San Francisco now. And he and his fiance, they went to the game last night. He was so excited. He's like, hey, this might be Cole's last start as a Philly. You know, he's like, he loves him, you know, just because of the World Series
right.
And, you know, what he's meant to the organization. I haven't talked to him since the game.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's probably not too happy. But I was thinking about him last night as I kept seeing the score update, and oh, my gosh, what is happening to Cole Hamels?
That's very frustrating. I think that can be a distraction, like to a Cole Hamels. And he doesn't help himself by having an outing like that. You know, but it wasn't for his track record and his ability. You know, I don't think that affects his value at the trading deadline whatsoever.
Because the resume is thick enough? Is that kind of the thinking
yes.
there? Yeah.
I think if you put him on a contending team or another organization, you know.
Could snap right back into place.
Oh, he'd notch it up a few notches.
Now, that said, if you're the GM of another team that's trying to acquire him, aren't you saying to Ruben Amaro, be like, hey, man, he's struggling right now. We can't give you our top guy.
Well, of course, that's just part of negotiating.
Yeah, but you're not buying that?
No, Philadelphia's not going to buy it either.
Yeah.
If you want Cole Hamels, you know, you're going to give something up.
You're going to have to pay for, like, Cy Young caliber Cole Hamels, not for this one.
I would think so.
That's interesting. Yeah, to be a fly on the wall.
Especially being a left-hander, you know, being a left-hander with his ability.
Well, now you're just biased.
Yeah. Thank you.
there's going to be a lot. There's going to be a lot. There are going to be big names flying this year, man.
Oh, it's going to be crazy.
I mean, just Cincinnati alone, right, Jay Bruce, Cueto, Chapman, Philadelphia. You're talking about Papelbon and Hamels here. Like we said, everybody's name has been brought up. It's not going to be a boring July around Major League
yeah,
Baseball.
And I got a feeling AJ's not going to be afraid to pull the trigger.
Yeah, we've learned that.
You know, and I respect that. Go for it.
Might as well.
Yep.
Might as well. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, going to try and track down Dennis Lynn of the San Diego Union-Tribune. We'll talk to him about an interesting story he wrote yesterday with some quotes from Padres ownership about, you know, fire sale, not fire sale, all that kind of stuff. We'll go over all of that, what Peter Seidler had to say, and talk to Dennis about the upcoming July 31 non-waiver trade deadline. Join the Padres on July 25th, that's a Saturday night, for a post-game concert by Grammy Award-winning artist Nelly. The performance is free to all fans with a ticket to that night's game against the Miami Marlins. We were just talking about them. 5:40 p.m. game and post-game concert with Nelly. Get your tickets at Padres.com/BNISD. Padres.com/BNISD. Nelly concert after the Padres beat the Marlins on July 25th. We'll take a break. Come back. Dennis Lynn of the Union Tribune. This is Padres Social Hour live from the AMR studio at Petco Park.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park. A couple minutes ago, we were talking about D. Gordon of the Marlins. Good news for him. Ken Rosenthal tweeting a few moments ago that his source tells him no ligament damage and no break in the left thumb. The hope is that the dislocation will sideline him only for about 2 weeks.
Yeah, 15-day DL.
There you go. Best case scenario maybe for D. Gordon, but still, stop sliding head first into first base.
That would be the one way to not to lose 2 weeks of your season.
Exactly. The Marlins will be here in about 2 weeks, so we'll see if he's back.
We might see him.
You never know. All right, let's return to the Padres and return to trade talk. Dennis Lynn of the Union Tribune joins us on the Cholula Hotline. You wrote a really interesting story yesterday. He talked to the Padres' lead investor, Peter Seidler, and had some very strong quotes about the trade deadline approaching and sort of what the organizational philosophy is at this point. And Dennis, he didn't seem to hedge. I mean, as I'm reading the quotes in your article yesterday.
No, not at all. I think those were, that's a good way to describe it, pretty strong wording, although I think in about a month we'll find out exactly, hopefully, what their definition of fire sale or not having a fire sale is. I think this is an organization that obviously did a lot of goodwill over the offseason, make all those moves, and built us real excitement in San Diego. So to tear it down right away might not be the way they want to go. Actually, I know that's not the way they want to go. At the same time, they have some pieces they can definitely sell off. They've also got some pieces who are controlled by Will Myers, Derek Norris. I don't see guys like that going anywhere. So even if they do move a lot of guys somewhere else, they still got guys this year that will probably, you know, not really qualify as a full rebuild.
Yeah, Dennis, and I think you got two or three guys that are going to be free agents anyway. If they left, I don't think it'd be really a surprise, even if all three, and I'm talking about Will Venable, Ian Kennedy, Upton. I mean, if those three weren't re-signed, that wouldn't surprise me. You start moving pitchers and doing some different things, it kind of depends on what you get for them then.
Yeah. Some of these guys like Upton, especially, 1 year, they knew going in, this might be a 1 year rental or less. Or, they hope that he'd consider, re-signing here or signing an extension. Right now, that looks unlikely, but you have to think that when A.J. Preller set down his ownership, that, hey, these are some of the guys we might be targeting. He also said, in case this doesn't work out, we can, trade some of these guys at the deadline and try to recoup some of the value we lost when we, gave up a lot of the farm system.
A lot of moves that could be made, and we're all sort of waiting and seeing what actually happens. Dennis Lynn is on the Cholula Hotline. He's on Twitter, of course, at Dennis T. Lynn. Don't forget the T. Yeah, we know all about that.
We know all about that.
Dennis, you've been with the team, obviously, on the road in St. Louis, in Pittsburgh, and now Arlington. I mean, what's the mood of the group, would you say, as you get to spend a little bit of time in the clubhouse?
If you look at the margin of, losses, they've had, it's all been, one run, two run, three runs, mostly one run losses here. That's pretty deflating after a while. So, right now this hasn't gone, right in almost, every facet besides the pitching. And even, last night with Ian Kennedy, giving up back-to-back home runs, walking back-to-back guys in his final inning. That's obviously not something you want at all. When you're trying to snap a five-game losing skid. So it's been very tough for them. I think with the new manager coming in, everyone's trying to feel each other out still. So it's a little confusing time, but these guys are definitely a long way from those first 15 games of the season when everything seemed to be going right.
Yeah, Dennis, I just sense a lot of tension, not between the players, just in their own efforts. I think a lot of guys are pressing and, and all the wrong things instead of just taking maybe a step back and take a deep breath and relax a little bit and just play the game. And I think some individuals going out there trying to fix themselves rather than that team approach day in and day out.
Yeah, Randy, I agree. If you look at the runners and scoring position averages across the board, I can't remember the last time they had, more than one or two hits. With runners in scoring position again, they've both been offers. So that right there just tells you about the tension there. They're not really coming through when they need to. And what makes it kind of like 2014 is they are pitching a lot better in general. Aside from last night, these guys are turning it around, but they just can't put it all together.
I mean, even last night, though, they held it together. You know, it's not like Texas ended up scoring 8-9 runs or anything like that. It's 4-1, and you can come back from 4-1, just not if you're over 7 with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of times when you're over 3, you know, 1-3, 0-2 with runners in scoring position, giving you a pretty good indication of what's going on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah. No.
And then that's a scary thing to me, Dennis, is when I see that. And you know, it is tough. I know we changed managers, and I don't think that's just really bode that well for the 25-man roster. I haven't seen, you know, you hope maybe changing the manager, like we, you know, AJ talked about a different voice, and I don't think that's panned out so far.
Yeah, it's definitely been an uphill climb for Pat Murphy and for the players too. I mean, he's still, you know, I think he likes to use the phrase, you know, try to make soup, and he's trying a bunch of different ingredients. I mean, you see Derek Norris lead off for 4 games, and he goes, I think, 3-for-18 with no walks. And then Will Middlebrooks is at shortstop today. I mean, this is midseason, right around the trade deadline, and they're experimenting with a lot of things because they're trying to stack over all their holes. And right now, this is something you prefer to do in spring training, but they're trying to make all these moves in midseason, and it's just not conducive to a winning environment right now.
Are you do you sense that we could be very, very active the last 2 weeks of July?
Yeah, I think so.
I do too.
Before the All-Star break, you're obviously not going to see anything. Just nothing. Still going to be a Padre at the All-Star game, being their alum representative. But these final 2 weeks, the Padres are really, you know, well positioned to kind of rule the trade market if they want to, because they've got arms. They've got, you know, just nothing, who could be the top available guy, or probably is the top available guy in the market. And then they've got a couple of bullpen guys, and you know, they really are in position to you know, make a ton of moves. And knowing AJ, and especially looking at what he did in the winter, I think we could see kind of not the reverse of that, but he's going to do you know, quite a bit coming up in the next 2 weeks.
The question I posed to people yesterday, Dennis, and I'll let you have a crack at it just for fun, gentlemen's you know, bet kind of situation. Over under 3 trades made by the Padres this month, 3 separate transactions.
So over would be 4.
Yeah,
I say over. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. I would go. I mean, they've got Randy laid it out. They have all those free agents, and that's you know, that kind of puts you almost right there. So yeah, I would say over.
And you know, and also you can move some guys. I mean, in the back of your mind, right now we've lost a lot of our talent in the minor league. So I mean, you're moving some of these guys, and it might not be. Yeah, guys, you're going to see instantly here on the Major League 25-man roster, but I think you got to start, you know, building that back up as well, and this is another way to do it.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point, and I think it'll be telling to see, you know, assuming there'll be a substantial amount of maybe young or minor league talent that Preller, you know, makes the move for. It'll be interesting to see who what kind of minor leaguers he targets in those kinds of deals, and I think they'll be. Ball be, you know, 6'4" with big loud tools and very athletic, because I think AJ has a type.
Yeah, we saw that in the draft.
All
huh?
I know is one of them better be able to play shortstop. That's all I can tell you, man.
Yeah, you better believe it. All right, Dennis Lynn.
They're looking.
Yeah, on Twitter, @DennisTLynn. He's at Globe Life Park in Arlington. Appreciate you taking a couple of minutes for us, and enjoy the game tonight, man. Thanks.
All right, thanks very much.
Thanks, Dennis.
All right, that's Dennis Lynn on the Cholula Hotline. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Let me read those quotes for you from his story yesterday from Peter Seidler. And Peter is the lead investor for the Padres ownership group. Here's one. It's not in our DNA to have a fire sale and to tear down. It is in our DNA to make good business moves and good baseball moves. And organizationally, I think that's what we expect to happen right now, next year, the year after, and the years beyond.
Yes. And I never even thought about a fire sale.
Well, Jesse, people have thrown it out there.
It's
happened
that.
Here quite a few times.
Well, sure. But yeah. not with this ownership and where the franchise is right now, I'm not buying a fire sale right now. That's not the answer.
He says, intellectually, I understand why some franchises in baseball and in other sports will tear down to the bone and try to get high draft picks with the hope that in 3 years you can build up. We think we're smarter to put all of our energy into competing year after year. We think that's what the fans want. We think that's what San Diego wants. And we know that's what we want.
And I agree. And, you know, I want this group to have the opportunity to get a couple more drafts and develop. I mean, and do a better job developing some of our younger players.
Yeah.
And then that's going to take – that's give them a couple of years to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, and nobody has – you know, as a fan, you don't have that much patience, especially like right now.
Yeah. It's low.
Look at the positives. Well, would you please give me one? You know, hard to find positives right now when you're in a losing streak. You're only one game ahead of the Rockies right now.
Yeah.
For fifth place, for heaven's sakes.
Crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
And you'll play the Rockies.
We're a better ball club than the Rockies. We play them as soon as we come back from the break.
Next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, right here at Petco Park. All right, we'll take a break, come back, talk about tonight's starting pitcher, James Shields. We will talk about him pitching, and we'll talk about how he fits into this trade deadline conversation, because his name is now out there. Buster Olney has thrown James Shields' name into the ring. And so we'll discuss that when we come back. Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. Hashtag Padres SH if you want to join the conversation on Twitter. Hey, Alex Miniak is here, the PA announcer here at Petco Park.
Good job, Alex.
He does a great job as the public address announcer. He's taking a Comic-Con break.
That's all he's doing.
To come and watch a little social hour.
He's hiding down here.
He's hiding.
Hiding from the Comic-Con.
He's got the badge, though, so hopefully. No, he is a Comic-Con person.
He is it.
Yeah, he's been going to all the Comic-Con stuff. He's got the badge. That thing is worth like $1,000 on the street right now.
Really?
You got to be careful. People will do things. You got to be very careful with your Comic-Con badge. Maybe we'll plop Miniak on the couch in a few minutes.
Can we get him back here in the tunnel and roll him and take it? What do you think?
Let's push him around a little bit.
I'll split the bunny with you.
Yeah? All right. I'm down. No, we wouldn't want to do that. Let's talk about James Shields. He starts tonight against Colby Lewis. I got two big James Shields conversations. I'll let you choose which one we have first. James Shields, like, actually about his pitching, and then James Shields and the trade deadline. Where would you like to begin? What's more interesting to you right now in this moment?
His pitching.
Okay, so let's talk about his pitching. Beyond the Box Score, it's one of the SB Nation sites, and they had a really good read today on sort of the way he's been pitching this year. And they usually go pretty heavy into the numbers, although this one wasn't super heavy in the numbers, but I'll synopsize it for you, which was very much that it was about the pitches he's thrown this year and what the results have been. So they said, hey, the home runs have been up, the strikeouts have been up, the walks have been up. And they sort of looked at the numbers and what pitches have been hit, how, and all that kind of thing. The curveball has been his best weapon. And he's throwing a lot more curveballs this year. But it's been good. And so that kind of makes sense, right? All right. Hey, this is working. I'm just going to do more and more of it. So I don't want to say that he's, you know, lost confidence in another pitch, but he's having more success with the curveball than he ever has. And so he's throwing more of his curveball than he ever has. They suggested at the end of the day the home runs should come down, because they're just freakishly high right now. The percentage of balls being hit out of the park doesn't really make sense. So that should self-correct, you know, mathematically moving forwards. But the bottom line is, this is a different James Shields this year than the guy we've seen the last several years.
And I really think it boils down to command. I've mentioned before, James Shields, that, you know, he's got the best command outside the strike zone I've seen in a long time by a pitcher. And that's part of pitching. But his command inside the strike zone hasn't been what I anticipated. I really expect him to, you know, pound those edges, you know, like a number one starter will. And I don't think he's really been able to duplicate and do that on the consistent basis that I thought I would see more of that. And that's what makes those pitches off the plate, those breaking balls, those changeups outside the strike zone that they chase. That's what makes all the difference in the world when they do that. You know, but I think command in the strike zone what sets those pitches up.
Yeah, it's an incredible thing. And again, look, the strikeouts are up, and he hasn't been bad. I don't want to make it sound like, I mean, he's been very solid for the Padres, but he's been a different kind of guy this year, stuff wise and results wise, than he's been the last several seasons.
You know how you get rid of a losing streak?
You win.
You get one of your starters to go pitch a shutout.
Yeah.
How about, has anybody thought of that?
Sure.
How about go nine and pitch a shutout?
Haven't had one, right? That's
how we got used to in losing streaks.
Well, it's a little bit different now.
Well, heck with it.
But, no, I mean, this is the guy you turn to.
That's
for that.
Right.
This is the guy.
This is the guy that needs to go out there, slam the door, you know, and pitch a ball game.
All right. So we'll see what happens tonight with James Shields. I mentioned, too, that he's been thrown out there from a trade rumor standpoint. Buster Olney said today that, quote, some in the Padres organization, I don't know what that means, some in the Padres organization. Blooper, did you talk to Buster Olney? Are you responsible for this?
I did not.
Okay. So it's not Blooper, but someone in the Padres organization or some in the Padres organization think that they should trade James Shields.
All right. Well, I mean, is there – if you look at our 25-man roster right now, is there somebody that, you know, would surprise you if their name came up in a trade?
No.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
No, and that's –
I think – and so you can say whatever you want to about James Shields. Sure. Hey, if somebody wants to make a run at James Shields, you know, listen, what are you going to give me? They're going to listen to it. You bet they are.
100%. There are so few untouchable guys around baseball.
I agree.
So few. And Shields falls into, like, whatever the next tier is below untouchable where you got to blow my socks off. So if some GM picks up the phone and calls A.J. Preller and says, I'm going to give you my two best prospects, whatever it is.
Whatever it might be.
You go, okay. But it's going to take something really, really, really serious.
Yeah, I know.
Really serious. Probably unreasonably serious.
Yeah, but would A.J. pull a trigger if it was? Yes.
Yeah.
He would.
If they blew his socks off.
You bet.
But his socks are very hard to blow off.
Yeah.
They stay on most of the time.
Well, I agree. But, I mean, you know, you until we get done, I mean, everybody, all the trade room, everybody's going to fly.
Yeah. Until we get to August 1st.
Yeah.
But, yeah, pretty much everyone has been mentioned. All right. Looking for paradise? Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious, made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothies. So visit the new Maui Waui locations inside Petco at the Park at the Park or the Mercado. They are also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. We'll take a break, come back, get to some of your questions and comments on Twitter. This is Padres Social Hour presented by United.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
All right, so for the last couple weeks, we've given our producer, Seth Blooper, such a hard time. We're telling him, hey, man, you got to book some of these Comic-Con guys to come by. Hey, what about Conan O'Brien? He announced, by the way, he's coming back next year, so you get a whole nother shot at it. But we did find a Comic-Con guest, Alex Miniak, the public address announcer here at Petco Park. He's going to Comic-Con. He was at Comic-Con earlier today. So this sort of counts. We'll give you half a point,
Seth. Didn't get him.
No, I know.
I just kind of wandered in here.
Yeah. Welcome, man. How are you?
Thank you. Good. Yeah, it's been a heck of a day.
You shopping for a new pottery hat or something? Or?
Well, you know, I like to come by and check out the selection, you know. And I knew Jesse and you were here, so I had to stop by and say hello. And Seth, too, of course.
Yeah. He's a true afterthought.
So Comic-Con, is it everything you thought it was going
to
be?
It's a scene. It's a sensory overload, to say the least, for sure. Anything that you can buy in terms of a poster figure, Lego character, you name it, movie star you want to meet, it's all there. It's pretty nuts. Yeah.
This is great because everybody knows Alex's voice if they come to the games.
Right.
But they don't necessarily get to see the full package. So now they get an opportunity to, like, put a face with the name
as the guy.
You're the guy.
I'm the guy.
Can you give us, like, a now pitching number 35, Randy Jones, something like that?
I mean, your attention, please. Now pitching, number 35, Randy Jones.
That's not bad.
Wow.
Yes.
Right here.
I'm honored, by the way. Thank you for allowing me to do that.
This is great.
That's a Cy Young Award winner. That's pretty cool. All right, man. Well, good to see you. Thanks for stopping by.
No problem.
Are you going back to Comic-Con?
I'll probably wander back over there. Yeah.
Check it all out.
I got to meet one cool star today, Edward James Olmos.
Not bad.
So, you know, big Miami Vice fan. I wore the purple today to kind of show my respect.
Look at you.
So thank you.
Oh, man.
Thank you. That's maybe the white pants next time.
Yeah, I was going to say, and the jacket with the sleeves rolled off.
I have those. Don't tempt me.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Come
all right.
On, come
Alex Miniak.
Thank you.
As your hometown pet retailer, Petco's proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Take a break, come back, wrap up this Saturday social hour right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Game 2 in Texas coming up for the Padres. Take a look at the starting lineup presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. Melvin Upton Jr. back in the leadoff spot.
Yeah,
Solarte.
But I like Derek Norris in the sixth spot.
Take
the heat off. Get him down there.
Okay.
Let him relax a little bit. Find that groove.
Middlebrooks at shortstop for just the second time. He'll bat ninth. And most everybody is in there. The designated hitter tonight will be Matt Kemp. So Venable starts in right field. Our Supercuts head-to-head challenge. Randy gets to pick. Blooper gets to pick. I believe Seth has the first choice. Who you got, Seth?
I'm picking Derek Norris.
He's taking Derek Norris, man, in the sixth spot.
Okay, if you're gonna do it because he's struggling, I'm going Upton.
Okay.
Because he's struggling too, so let's just get one of them going. How about that?
Either one would be fine by me. Both would be outstanding. Norris and Upton, the choices. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail. The cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Enjoy the game. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 10:30. Talk to you then.